Welcome back. If you are lucky enough to subscribe to that thing called the Tribune, it's a newspaper. It's ink on paper. You will see on the front of the arts and entertainment section, and then on page four, pictures of a guy named Mike Royko and his wife, Judy Royko, who happens to be on the phone. Judy, how are you?
I'm really good, Rick. How about you?
Good, good. Judy and I went over to see this, what I think is a lively, lively exhibit. It's called Chicago Style, Mike Royko and Windy City Journalism. We liked it, didn't we, Judy?
You know, we walked through it the other day, and we were both very impressed.
And I almost cried. I don't know if you almost cried. It's just, you know, one of the things about the exhibit, which I think is going to be incredibly successful, especially based on all, you know, you may have gotten calls today too, but I got a ton of emails from people saying, oh my God, thanks for writing about him. I miss him so much. I'm glad he's back in town. That is the effect that Mike had on this city. You must hear it all the time.
Well, it gets less and less every year, kind of. But yes, I do. I do run into it a good bit of the time. Yep.
I'm going to read you a letter. This is an email I got. This is a compliment to you, too. It says, good morning, Rick. I enjoyed your column today on Dear Mike Royko. Like so many, I was a huge fan. Shortly after he died, I wrote to his widow to let her know what his columns, humor, and wisdom meant to me. Boy, was I surprised and delighted when a big envelope arrived at my house filled with copies of Mike's columns. What a lovely gesture. It meant a lot and still does. I wonder if she did this for many of his fans, or was it simply from one Judy to another? It's from a woman named Judy Pfeiffer in Evanston. That's a very sweet note, Judy.
What did I do?
You obviously sent. Well, the way I read it is she wrote to you, and telling you how much she loved his columns, and you sent her back a selection of his columns. I just
oh my God,
yeah you're a sweet woman.
Oh,
Judy.
Good. You know what, after Mike died, I did get so many letters from people from all over the country, Rick.
No,
especially
I'm sure.
In places like Pittsburgh and Cleveland, because he was syndicated there, but really from all over. He touched so many people with what he wrote. It really was something.
No question. I think one of the great things you and I both thought about the exhibit is there are going to be people in there who go to the exhibit or even stumble upon it. Don't go there just for that. There are other things to do and see at the Newberry Library, who will go, wow, I'm going to go through and look at this Mike Royko thing, who will then be, and I think this is the greatest thing about an exhibit like that, they will then be drawn to further explore who Mike Royko was, and the best way to do that is through his collections of columns and his book, Boss.
Well, that is truly what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the people who come to this exhibit will find it interesting enough that they'll want to pursue the rest of the collection. And while they're looking at the rest of the collection, they will see all of the columns that Mike wrote, because I donated every one, because Mike saved every column he wrote.
Wow.
And he put them in boxes, and, you know, there was over 7,000 columns. So that was a lot of boxes in our house. So Mike was very concerned about being able to preserve those columns.
Sure.
So when the Newberry said that they would preserve them as part of a collection, I said, great, you can have them. So they're all there, and I've done that before. I've gone up to where the collection is and looked through the boxes, and it's really easy to do, Rick.
Oh, I know.
It's so well organized. You've been up there, too?
Sure. I think one thing that people have to get out of their heads, I think for many years in this town, the Newberry has looked like it is on it is 60 West Walton Street, which is right in the heart of sort of the Gold Coast, and it from across the street, which is a park called Washington Square Park, otherwise known as Bug House Square. The Newbury looks like one of those buildings that you should be afraid to go into. It looks too important. You know what I mean? It looks like, oh, my God, I can't go in there. The Newbury is actually one of the most – you don't need any kind of special pass. You don't need any kind of special academic degree to go in and say, hi, I'd like to go see the Mike Royko Archives or the Ben Hecht Archives.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's so nice in there and helpful.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's just they have a great, and then they have a great bookstore, a great gift shop, and the Mike Royko exhibit, which is called Chicago Style. It opened formally last week. Mike Royko and Windy City Journalism tells you a lot about the times in which Mike wrote his column. There's one of my favorite things in there, Judy, that I think is his very, very, very early press card. When all reporters used to have these cards issued by the city, which would enable us to go into special places. And Mike's are just, I love his early press card. I may have
Rick,
to...
Rick, it's from 1959.
I know. I may have to really? Steal it.
Yeah.
I
wanna... this exhibit starts from the very beginning of Mike as a newspaper man. It's great to see that. It's great to see that, definitely.
And it's got...
You know what one of my favorite parts was?
What?
And it's not Mike the newspaper man. It was seeing the ashtray and pack of cigarettes and the hat and the suit jacket, because it really brought him back for me.
I know.
I saw that so much that I was really glad that they chose those items to put in the collection.
You know, a lot of people, someone said, after I wrote about it, someone said, because it was posted online like Wednesday ago, don't they have none of his golf clubs in there? I go, look, this is not about Mike Royko, the would-be, the incredibly talented golfer. This is about Mike Royko, the journalist. And he was the greatest journalist this town has ever seen. And that's why I really want to talk to Junie, I can't wait to talk to people who go to the exhibit, and I'm sure we will, who have sort of or never heard of Mike. And there'll be some, as you said. I mean, he's been gone for more than 25 years, and he's still a huge presence. I love the fact that these people are writing me, telling me what a sweet woman you are for sending. You have no memory of sending some woman a bunch of Mike's columns. But I remember how in the wake of his death, there was a memorial service at Wrigley Field, of all places. And those were rough times. And those were, Mike was only 64 years old when he passed away. You're obviously going to make plans to come on with friends or people who are in out of town. Come on, that's going to be one of the big stops through September for you, is it not? You're going to say, come on, let me take you to see the exhibit, and then we'll go over to Gibson's and have a drink.
Oh, I've already had it happen. People who say, will you please walk me through that? And I was over there the other day doing that. Yeah, no, I hope so. I'm happy to do that.
One of the things about it is the exhibit is so, I find it, I called it lively in print because it's so easily digestible. It's not like going to the Museum of Science and Industry and seeing 500 dinosaur bones. It is really easily digestible. If you knew Mike and read Mike and loved Mike, you'll get a lot out of it, and it will bring back incredible memories for you. If you've never heard of Mike Royko, you will nevertheless get something out of this. One of the other astonishing things in it is that type, remember typewriters, ladies and gentlemen, that typed manuscript for Boss, which is his 1971 biography of Richard J. Daley, with Mike's notations and editing and corrections. It's just, it's a fabulous piece of work. We got to take a little break, Judy Royko, and come back, and you're going to hear from someone, a friend of mine, who told me a great story about Mike, and I love stories about Mike. You can go to newbury.org and you'll get all the information you want. The show is up through September. Judy and I and after we talk to this nice person, secret man, who we're calling, we'll talk about another thing about Mike that is coming to Chicago in early September. So please stay tuned. Welcome back. It's a real treat for me to be talking even over the phone with my pal Judy Royko. We're talking about, we're raving about this brand new Newberry Library exhibition called Chicago Style, Mike Royko and Windy City Journalism. Judy, a few weeks ago, I've heard this story from my friend, Dr. Michael Stryker, some time ago, but heard it again recently. And I thought, oh, man, Mike, there's always, you know, Mike is seen in some quarters as, you know, just the toughest guy in the world and remote and blah, blah, blah. Michael, welcome to the show. I don't know if you've never met Judy, have you?
No, I have not. It's a pleasure.
Well, here you go. Michael Stryker, Judy Royko. When did you first encounter, and how did you first encounter Mike Royko, Michael?
So I read the column every day growing up. We got the paper delivered. We got the, you know, morning and afternoon newspapers. And I think there were days when Mike Royko's column was probably the only thing I read, but I never missed it. And I was a freshman in high school, and my English class, the teacher gave us all an assignment to interview somebody and write up the interview. And I think everybody else interviewed somebody they knew or a neighbor. But to me, an interview meant it had to be somebody important. And I called the newspaper and asked if I could talk to him. And they did. And I told him what I needed. And we made an appointment. And I took the bus downtown. And I remember going to his office. He wasn't in the office. Somebody let me in. And I looked around and saw his desk and the ashtray, and I didn't know what to expect, but it sort of all fit. And then he came in, and we talked, and he asked me what I wanted to interview him about, and I had to pick a topic, and I picked student activism. This was 1968-69. Uh-huh. There were a lot of protests about the Vietnam War, and I took notes, and he answered my questions. He was incredibly gracious. I was sort of overwhelmed that it all went as well as it did. And I think we spoke for 15 or 30 minutes.
Wow.
And he asked me to send him a copy of the paper, which I think I did. Ah. And it was a memory that I took with me for many years. And I know when I went back to school, everybody else had interviewed, you know, their uncle or their barber.
Dentist or somebody, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And the teacher was sort of overwhelmed, and I didn't think, to me it was just, that was sort of what I thought the assignment was, that an interview meant somebody important. And I was amazed at how accessible he was. He was very nice to me.
I love that story. Do you remember what grade you got on that paper? You had to have gotten an A.
I was a good student. I'm sure I got a good grade. And I looked for it because I did save some things from high school, but not much. I don't have it anymore.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Judy, isn't that a great story, though?
It is. And, Michael, that happened to a number of other people, kids included, who, if they got up the courage to call Mike, Mike always picked up the phone, and they'd say, I'd like to come in and interview you. And he was always accessible like that and gracious. And, you know, he handled those things really well. So I'm glad that happened to you. What a good experience.
Yeah. Michael, it was a great experience, and I'm sure it influenced me in many ways.
Yeah, that's great.
Probably the first time I had that kind of courage to do something that was out of my comfort zone.
Well, you have to let us both know. I'm assuming you're going to go down what you'll probably do is go search through the Royko archives upstairs to see if it says in an old note or in his old date book,
yeah,
Michael Stryker.
So I go to the Newberry Library a lot, and I was just there right before this exhibit opened, so I'll go again in the next week or so to look at it. And this will probably make me want to reread the books I have.
See, that's the whole point. Don't you think that's great, Judy?
I do. That's
the whole thing about this exhibit. Michael, let me know when you're going to go to the Newberry. I'll bop over and meet you there.
Very good. Thank you so much for talking.
Oh, no, thank you. I love that story. I just love that story. It's that's the Mike Royko that a lot of people do not know, that kind heart. I mean, that's, you know, but, you know, his images, but, you know, the image of, you know, someone like Jimmy Breslin, there's a real tough guy image, and a young man named Michael Bischoff is coming to Chicago, and on September 5th is starring in a one-man show called, ready, you know, Judy, Mike Royko, the toughest man in Chicago. We're hopeful about this show, aren't we? We met this young man.
Oh, Rick, I am very hopeful. I know how hard it is to put on a one-man show about Mike. And this guy, Mitchell Bischoff, is really doing an excellent job. He really is. He's portraying Mike with the words coming out of Mike's mouth, not Mitchell's, but Mike's.
Right.
Because Mitchell did his homework, and he's listened to all of Mike's interviews and read Mike's interviews, and he is having Mike words that Mike actually said, conveying what Mike meant, and it really is a good look at Mike as a person. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. And he's going to use the voices of some other people, or people pretending to be other people, like Frank Sinatra, to get into the famous Sinatra. That's part of the play. When Mike accused Sinatra of wearing a toupee, and Sinatra wrote an actually brilliant letter challenging Mike to a fight, and then he wants someone to be studs, and then he's thinking of getting Judy, you'll be thrilled that I talked this morning to our old mutual friend Neil Gentoli.
That I am, Rick. And
yes.
Did you bring it up to him when he portrayed me here daily?
I did indeed. It was a wide-ranging conversation. Some of you may remember Neil as a very talented actor. He's been in a lot of movies, and he portrayed Richard J. Daley in a hit show. He did the show for 2 years called His Honor at Prop Theater, and then it demanded so much of him physically that he has sort of quit, and he lives on a farm in Wisconsin now. And I will, Judy, tell you, detail the entire conversation we had. He loves Mike. But I think this Mitchell Bischoff will he's so committed. That's what impresses me, Judy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm hoping, Rick, that you will do the Studs Terkel voice. I know you have a good Studs imitation.
I do, and I can't make any money doing Studs. The only people I can really imitate are Studs Terkel, Irv Kupcinet, and Ann Landers, and there's no way I can make money at that. It would be the weirdest.
Well, that's a good trio, though.
It is a good trio, but I can't imagine, you know, the Las Vegas lounge yet. Come see Rick Kogan imitate great Chicago journalists. You are probably going to wind up seeing this Mike show at the Newbury dozens of times. And one of the things about it, too, is I don't think it's ever going to get tired. I do not think that the 10th time that I see it, and I can imagine that I see it for 10 times, it brings him back in a weird kind of, certainly not a physical kind of way, but in a It sparks good memories for me.
He was very proud to be a newspaper man.
Oh.
And he always used that word whenever he was asked what his occupation is. It's newspaper man. It wasn't journalist or columnist. But he was very proud to be that. So it's just great that the Newbery has put this exhibit on to show everybody his career as a newspaper man.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big hit. And again, if you're even just in the neighborhood, anywhere around, you know, the corner of Walton and between the Newberry's on Walton, between Dearborn and Clark, you can't miss it. And it's not as intimidating as it looks. It's really actually a kind of fun place, if you ask me. And it is fun, and you can further explore Mike either in the bookstore there, which will have a couple of his many collections, or in the archives upstairs. And it's worth exploring. A thousand years from now, God knows, if we're not all robots or something, that a thousand years from now, when someone wants to understand Chicago in the last half of the 20th century, all they would need to do is read Mike Royko. I really, really believe that. You could toss in a little.
Oh, I agree.
You could toss in a little Ann Landers for trying to figure, to see how nutty the world was. But Mike will do it for you. Judy, I adore you. Yep. Thank you, and I'll see you this week.
You got it. See
okay,
you, Rick.
See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.